unidentified actor Ramya, who finds herself at the receiving end of a sedition controversy, accused of being seditious for praising the people of Pakistan for their hospitality. And now there are protests against her. It's just one more in a series of controversies around so-called sedition. Let's go straight across to Ramya. Ramya, before we come to the actual ridiculous charge of sedition, let me first ask you to talk a little bit about your experience to Pakistan. When did you go? What did you do there? And tell us a little bit about your trip. Was it your first trip?
Well, I was invited as a panelist to speak at the first SAARC Youth Parliamentarians Conference, which was in Islamabad. And it was my first trip to Islamabad. And that's why I was there.
And how was your experience? Talk a little bit about your experience there.
You know, Barka, if I can elaborate a little bit, I don't know how much time we have, but
go ahead.
Yeah, right. So when I landed in Islamabad, my bags didn't come, so I didn't have anything on me except a Madhubani painting that I had carried with me for the speaker as a gift. And one of the parliamentarians took me around to pick up the stuff that I needed. And when I went to a shop, and when the owner of the shop knew that I was from India, there was this bakery next door, and she got all the pastries and all the juices that were there, and then she offered them to me, and then she's like, oh, bahut acha hua, aap se milne, and you know, whatever. I'm sorry, my Hindi is quite bad. And people were extremely hospitable, and I think people are just like us. We face the same issues. And all the Indian delegates, I mean, there was a there was a parliamentary BJP MP, there was Kalikesh, and there was Alok Tiwari ji also from SP. And we were all treated very, very well. Yeah.
So when you came back and you disagreed with Manohar Parrikar, when you said he may think Pakistan is hell, but I don't think Pakistan is hell, despite the controversy, you stand by that statement?
I absolutely stand by it, even more so today.
All right, tell me a little bit then of how you see this charge of sedition against you. The entire controversy seems ridiculous, but how do you see it?
It is ridiculous, but it's not surprising, Barka, because you see, you know, you hear of sedition every other day on random things that people have said which are not seditious. And this is a situation, and I think that we can't really blame these people, because you know, laws are meant to be misused apparently in this country, and they are misusing the sedition law as well. So I think it's time to repeal it, because in a democratic country, I don't think there should be anything such as sedition.
But Ramya, this is also a political issue. The protests by you have also been by the student wing of the BJP, the ABVP. There's even been a BJP MLC, which includes actor Jagesh, who's an MLC, who's attacked you in very coarse language. Do you see this entire row as political? Do you see as it as Ramya versus the ABVP, Ramya versus the BJP, Congress versus BJP?
I don't know what their agenda is, but I definitely feel like this is curbing of the freedom of speech, and I think everybody is entitled to their views, irrespective of whether you're in the Congress or you know, any political party. And I don't think anybody should be told what not to say and what to say. Yeah, I think freedom of speech is everybody's right. I would see it like that.
But you know, the kind of coarseness of language when you have a Jagesh who took part in the ABVP protests, and he actually used this coarse language where he spoke about bed bugs and mosquitoes and compared you to those and said you should go back to Pakistan. I mean, how do you deal or engage with this kind of language?
Amusing. I find them very amusing, and I find it really ridiculous and absurd and bizarre. But that's just who they are. I mean, you know, just take it as it comes. And I definitely don't get affected by it. I do laugh at it sometimes. But otherwise, no, I don't really care about their comments or what they have to say. Well, they're entitled to their views.
Right. So, you know, you seem to keep your sense of humor about this. But let me ask you whether it's amnesty or it's this particular case, both are actually happening in a state which is governed by the Congress. Now, the BJP could turn around and say that this is, in fact, a state that is ruled by the Congress. So why blame the BJP? This is happening on the Congress watch.
Look, Barka, I think the government is just following the legal procedure, and if someone files a complaint, you can't just say, you know, what. Well, I think, well, in this situation, I think, or the amnesty, sorry, amnesty situation, I think the police themselves are not aware of what the law is, and therefore they don't know if they should accept the complaint or not. But I think they have accepted the complaint because of lack of, maybe they're misinformed or something like that. But then let the court decide, no, if it's seditious or not seditious, whatever it is. I don't think anybody should bypass the law. And if so, the problem here is the law itself. So I'm saying repeal the law, because you can't, blame anyone for filing a complaint or blame someone for accepting a complaint, because that is a legal procedure. So I don't think we should blame anybody for that, but I think we should really repeal the law. I think that is the only solution. Today it's me, tomorrow it could be anybody else.
So you are saying in effect that today it is you, tomorrow it could be anyone else, you or me.
Yeah, for I don't know, as random as saying that, you know, Pakistanis are just like us, and, well, you know, tomorrow it could be anything.
But, you know, I do want to come back to the mixed signals we've heard from the Congress, Ramya. You've had Congress leaders like Digvijay Singh, for example, who said that your government in Karnataka, your party's government, should not have filed a sedition case against amnesty. But the Home Minister in the state says something else. The Congress continues to speak in different voices. So it isn't just the BJP. It isn't just the ABVP. Today, the Americans have said amnesty must have a right to free expression. That's been the official response from the US government. So while what's happened to you is ridiculous, how do you defend, as a Congress member in Karnataka, in a Congress-ruled state, what has happened to amnesty?
Yeah, I mean, they are a community that fights for human rights, and how can you stop them? You know, everybody is entitled to do what they're meant to do, and I don't think we should be stopping someone from doing their job. And I definitely think that the Congress government in Karnataka must intervene, but according to the law, and try to do something about it, and stop people from, you know, filing sedition cases, and, you know, maybe inform people about what the sedition laws. But I again reiterate that I think we should just be done away with this law. Mm.
How do you see the phrase anti-national? It's used a lot these days. It's certainly been used for me a few times. Now it's been used for you. How do you see this phrase?
Like I said, I take it as a compliment, because the ones who are speaking, you know, against hatred, the people who are speaking for peace, people who speak for freedom of speech, they're being called anti-national. So I think these are good things, you know, these are good qualities to have. So if that is anti-national, then I don't mind being anti-national.
But you know, Ramya, I mean, you may say that, and I say, like to say that too, that, you know, if you're going to define my patriotism for me, then fine, go ahead and call me anti-national. I don't believe I am. I get that. But there's a counter argument. There are people who say to you today that, look, Pakistan is sponsoring terrorism against India, and while it's all very well to speak up for the people of Pakistan and their friendliness, you should not end up being an apologist for Pakistan. So how do you respond to that charge that, you know, by praising Pakistan at this time of tension, you're being an apologist for Pakistan?
I think it's absurd if they think like that. I'm not for terrorism of any sort, whether it is Pakistan or Afghanistan or even in Bangladesh. I think it's for all of us to come together and fight terrorism. And I don't think we should blame anybody of any particular country for, for terrorism. Because look at what we're doing in Mangalore. I mean, BJP guys have killed another member of their own party. Or look at what's happening in Gujarat. Or look at what's happening in the country itself. We're killing one another. And I'm not saying that this is only in Pakistan or only in Afghanistan or any other country. It's here too. It's in my it's in a city that's 100 kilometers from here. So I'm saying, I mean, it's ridiculous to think that, you know, it's easy for us to point fingers at someone and say, well, it's happening there, it's not happening here. I think look around you, there's so much happening here itself.
Though, of course, Ramya, it could be said that institutionalized use of terrorism as a state policy is very different from violence of the kind that you have referred to within India. But that is the subject of another debate. Let me ask you in the end how you're dealing with this. You said you've kept your sense of humor alive, but have there been moments of fear or feeling scared of panic? Have you considered apologizing at all? You know, just an apology for buying practical peace.
No, I haven't contemplated, but I don't have an ego and I would have said sorry otherwise because I'm someone who always speaks my mind and I never intend to hurt anybody's feelings. But in this particular instance, I don't think I should apologize because I definitely don't want people to stop speaking their mind or to be scared or to, succumb to pressure because that's not what inclusiveness or democracy is about. I think everybody is entitled to their opinions and I think that's what should be the political discourse of the country, that what everybody wants for their country and what their intentions are or what their feelings are, what their thoughts are. And I think the problem today is we're trying to eliminate a section of society and force a particular ideology or force a particular opinion on other people. And I think that's not the right way. I don't think that's good for the country.
All right, Ramya, I do agree with you. You have absolutely no reason to apologize for expressing a point of view about people being nice in Pakistan and it not being held. That has nothing to do with other institutional problems between the two countries. And this sedition is getting to be, some would say, quite farcical in the way that it is manifesting itself. Thank you so much. That, in fact, takes us to our debate today. Is the sedition row that we're seeing, first with Amnesty, now with Ramya, we've seen it earlier with JNU. We keep seeing this. Ramya says the law has to go. The Congress is speaking in multiple voices. The ABVP, the BJP student wing, is also out there protesting. Is this sedition debate sullying nationalism and, in fact, subverting it? On our panel today, Chandan Mitra of the BJP is with us. Manish Tiwari of the Congress will be with us in a moment from now. Biraj Patnaik, NGO civil rights activist, also on the board of Amnesty International, is with us. And Mohandas Pai is also joining us from Bangalore tonight. Chandan, how do you see this? I mean, you're a journalist, a senior journalist, a writer. Surely you stand up for free expression. First Amnesty, now this. I mean, isn't this getting to be farcical? Why is the BJP student wing, among others, picking these kind of issues to protest against people?
No, you have to make a distinction between various developments.
What's
now, Bangalore and Amnesty is one thing, and this, I think, rather silly debate over Ms. Ramya's comments is another thing altogether. Ms. Ramya's comments, as far as I could make out, I mean, I think that's perfectly reasonable, nothing wrong. She went to Pakistan, was feted, like many Pakistanis come here and get feted all the time and they go back and say Indians are such wonderful people. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And to charge such a person with being disloyal to the country, I think is quite silly if you ask me.
Yeah.
But the sedition part, sedition is a charge which only the establishment, the government, can bring against somebody. Because sedition involves waging war against the state. Now, to suggest that an individual, by praising Pakistan, has waged war against the state is really taking it to ridiculous extremes. And obviously, I don't think any court in this country is going to accept such a plaint. Complaint. But but what happened in Bangalore, on the other hand, I feel the Amnesty deserved the punishment they have got, the kind of prescription that has come over.
Chandan, you're saying that
the Ramya
controversy is a non-controversy, but Amnesty deserves to be booked for sedition. Is that your position?
Yes, I'm saying that. You have summarized me correctly. Amnesty matter is different from this. I would like to separate the two completely.
Okay, let me take that to Manish. Manish, the fact is, even on Amnesty, the Congress is speaking in multiple voices. The Home Minister of Karnataka saying one thing, central leader saying another. The fact is that why blame the ABVP, why point fingers at the BJP when the Congress can't take a consistent position on where it stands on the Amnesty conference? I think Ramya, we all agree, is so ridiculous. We can't even believe that there should be a sedition charge there. But when you couple it with the Amnesty debate, all happening in a Congress-ruled state, what do you say, Manish?
Well, for a change, I would like to agree with what Chandan was saying with regard to Ramya's matter. Sedition as a penal section of the Indian Penal Code needs to be legislated out of the Penal Code. Having said that, for someone to file a private complaint is completely swinging from the sublime to the ridiculous. Insofar as Amnesty is concerned, a lot of governments have had issues with Amnesty, but under no circumstances the program which they had organized really warranted that the Bangalore police or the Bengaluru police should actually have used the sedition sections of the Indian Penal Code. In my opinion, and I tweeted about that on that particular day also, the use of sedition or the use of the sedition charge was completely misconceived and absolutely avoidable, because the law on sedition is very clear. It's been laid down in a catena of Supreme Court judgments.
It has to incite violence. It has to incite violence. It actually has to incite violence.
There has to be a direct nexus.
But why is the Congress not taking a clear position? Why isn't your state government there taking a clear position there?
Well, I think that the Congress party has taken a very clear position. The General Secretary in charge of Karnataka, various other leaders have clearly said that invoking the sedition law was absolutely ridiculous and absurd. Insofar as the Karnataka government is concerned, you see, you need to really make a distinction, and I don't hold a brief for the Karnataka government, between what the Bangalore police has done and what the Karnataka government can be held responsible for. Because ultimately, it is not a command performance.
But take a clear political position, at least, right? Because Chandan is saying amnesty should have been booked for sedition. Chandan is taking the opposite position.
Barkha, I know, I heard Chandan. Barkha, eventually, you have to make a distinction between the state government and the police.
Okay.
And what I am saying, or what we are saying, is that the invocation of the sedition law by the Bangalore police was misconceived, and I agree with you that perhaps the Karnataka government also should have taken a clearer stand on this issue.
Okay, now before I get Chandan back in, let's just get Mohandas Pai and Biraj Patnaik. Biraj, first, as the Amnesty Board representative, Chandan Mitra makes a clear distinction between the Ramya case, which he says ridiculous, and the Amnesty case, which he says is well-deserved.
Well, first, I'm not going to speak on behalf of Amnesty, because I'm not an employee of Amnesty. They have issued a statement. They have appeared on various channels and said what needed to be said.
Yeah.
What I want to say is, when you start having a bad application of a very poor law, you go down on a slippery slope. It begins with a JNU or an Amnesty, and it ends up in this absolutely absurd and perverse situation, where a statement saying that someone is treated well in Pakistan is treated as sedition. Now, my request is, why is it that governments, or whether it's the BJP or whether it's the ABVP, why can they just not follow the law of the land? Now, the Constitution and subsequent Supreme Court judgments have clearly laid out on what can be called sedition and what cannot be called sedition. Incitement to violence is sedition. If you are not directly inciting violence, it's not sedition.
Yeah.
Slogans of freedom raised by anybody is not sedition, number one. Number two, how can you book an organization for sedition? I mean, are you going to take the banner of that organization to prison? Number three, here is an organization that that does a program where it invites the police and says that they did not need to take police permission, but they invite the police and they say, please take a video recording of our event, which the police do, because there might be some problems later. So, you know, then to apply the law of sedition on an organization is completely ludicrous. But this is the slippery slope on human rights, that once you take a position, it just degenerates into worse.
So let me get Mohandas Pai in. Mohandas Pai, in the last few months, we have seen an unprecedented, very high-focused debate on nationalism. It began with JNU. We've seen it against the backdrop of Jammu and Kashmir, Amnesty, now Ramya. Now, we can have differing definitions of patriotism and define our own constructs. But the sedition law, do you not believe that it is now being misused to a degree that it is actually subverting the very idea of nationalism?
Well, Barkha, let me say this. If you look at data, all governments in the country, all parties have misused the sedition law. There may be 400 or 500 cases all across the country on sedition, and each one of them is suspect. I don't think anybody has been convicted. The Supreme Court redefined the law, like you said, as an incitement to violence or the use of violence against the state.
Yes.
And I think, you know, this has not happened in most of the cases. So I think we must do away with the law and, abrogate the law. Unless you abrogate the law, we're going to have. Now, Manish, I agree with Manish when he said the law is bad. You know, he ruled the country for 10 years. The UPA should have done it. Now, I hope the Congress will move in Parliament a bill and support a private bill like Shashi Tharoor did to do a sedition law and bring in a new law with a very narrow definition of sedition in keeping with modern trends. We may need a law because, you know, we are threatened by the Maoists, we're threatened in Kashmir, we're threatened in the Northeast. We may need a law, but it has to be very narrowly defined so that there's no misuse against everybody. Now, all citizens are scared. It can be used against you. It can be used against me. It can be used against Manish, Chandan. It can be used against anybody. So I think we need to abrogate the law.
Do you agree with the case against Amnesty, Mohandas Pai? Before I get Chandan to come in, do you agree? Do you think the sedition law has been misused with Amnesty?
Look. Amnesty can be at best accused of mishandling the situation and allowing some people to do something, but you cannot accuse them of sedition because it doesn't meet the definition of the law. It's totally wrong, and the Bangalore police is out of it there. They shouldn't have done it, and I think it's a disgrace to Bangalore. The Bangalore police put that false charge of sedition on Amnesty. I think it's totally wrong.
Now, Chandan, since you defended it, Ramya, we all agree, is absolutely ridiculous, but now we're on Amnesty. I want to ask you if the Prime Minister can actually, pose for photograph with Mr. Muiva after a peace accord with the Nagas, who still talk about their own sovereignty, in quotes I'm saying, because that's the word they use, or if we can reach out, Rajnath Singh heading to the Kashmir Valley tomorrow, as you know, where there are many such Azadi slogans of the kind that you heard at the Bangalore conference. How many people are you going to book and lock away for sedition? If it's okay for Nagaland, if it's okay to talk to people who believe in separatism in the valley, why are we punishing people or an entire organization for these slogans in Bangalore, Chandan?
Well, you see, because the Bangalore conference or meeting or whatever was organized by a group that claims to support human rights globally. Now, human rights does not mean giving encouragement and providing incitement to a kind of rebellion by a section of the people and people who want to break away from India. When they infiltrate, I'll use the, be charitable and say the term, infiltrate an Amnesty meeting and raise anti-national slogans, I think the Amnesty people should have known this. Why provide a platform in these highly sensitive
but
times?
But you are talking to the same people, Chandan. Your government has said you're willing to engage with the separatist sentiment in Kashmir. Your L.K. Advani had talks with the Hurriyat. Was L.K. Advani anti-national? The army commander, Chandan, the army commander just called for talks including the separatists.
Barkha, it's one thing for the government of the country, the lawfully constituted government of the country, to engage in talks with those who at this point of time have a separatist faith. But it is entirely another matter when a private agency engages in promoting or at least providing a platform to sedition, which can actually lead to violence, incitement to violence and so on. They're two separate things altogether. I'm not saying we will not talk to Hurriyat, maybe, but that is for the government to decide. That is not for Amnesty to put pressure on public opinion on the government.
Okay, let me get Biraj to make a quick point, then Manish. Biraj, go ahead.
Barkha, it's completely, again, we are going down that slippery slope. Because when you say it's an organization holds a public meeting, if some people shout slogans, and if the police have reason to believe, for whatever reason, that these slogans are anti-national, then they should take action against the people who raise the slogan, not against the organization, number one. Number two, as a matter of fact, when the Supreme Court has ruled that, sedition is only direct incitement to violence, this sloganeering does not constitute sedition. Number three, the Lalita Kumari judgment, in which the Supreme Court said that you must file an FIR, has a clear provision that the police can do a preliminary inquiry if grave charges are laid and then file an FIR.
Right.
The police could have done a preliminary inquiry. There was no need to rush into an FIR. Now we are tying ourselves up into a knot, which is going to, cost India in terms of not just its image abroad, but also its foreign policy objectives. Because tomorrow, when you take a case against Balochistan, unfortunately, the only credible reports of torture and human rights violations in Balochistan, which have been made right at the Human Rights Council and at the US congressional hearings, are by Amnesty. So if you're going to quote those reports, you're going to have more egg on your face than you need
That's
for breakfast for the
irony.
Entire year. So
that is an
why
interesting
are we,
irony. That's
why
very interesting.
Are we, why are we, yeah, absolutely. Very why are we tying irony. Ourselves up in knots?
Yeah. Let me just get Manish in and then Mohandas Pai can come in on that. Manish, I think Mohandas Pai makes a valid point. Your party in government has also misused sedition. Cartoonists were put away on the Congress watch. I think Aseem Trivedi for sedition till the court cleared him of it. So this is a law that actually, in my opinion, needs to go.
There was a Kashmir conference in Delhi, Barkha, you recall, where they were charged with sedition.
Yes. So I'm saying it's happened on the Congress watch as well.
Were charged under Congress rule.
Well, Barkha, again, again, the sedition law in the case of Asim Trivedi was invoked by the Maharashtra government. And the UPA government at that time had clearly said that it had been wrongly invoked.
But if the Maharashtra government or the Congress
that
government,
the bar,
but it was a Congress NCP
it
government.
Might have been a it might have been a Congress NCP government, but then, you know, let's not have selective amnesia. It was the UPA government which at that point raised the bar and said that if at all you have to invoke the sedition law, it cannot be done by an officer less than the rank of an inspector general. So therefore, there were safeguards which was which were built in even by the then UPA government.
Do you think the law
but
should
allow
go?
Me to, Barkha,
do you think the law should go?
Of course,
Barkha,
of course, I said it right in the beginning that the time has come to legislate the sedition law out of the statute. You know, yes, you are facing threats of secession, terrorism, or left-wing extremism, but there is the National Security Act. There are enough provisions in the UAPA whereby you would be able to handle it. You do not require an archaic sedition law. But allow me to, Barkha, also say another thing.
Yeah.
You see, there is an alternative narrative in Kashmir. Whether you like that alternative narrative or you do not like it, the fact is it is there. If that alternative narrative is articulated, I think we as a state and as a people and as a confident democracy, you know, should have the ability to be able to listen to it and absorb it. We may not agree. We may completely disagree with that narrative. But to say that that narrative should not be there, I think militates against the fundamental essence of democracy.
Okay, let me just get quick last words from Mohandas Pai and Chandan. Chandan, one second, just Mohandas Pai for a quick last word and then you can take the last word, Chandan. Mohandas Pai.
Barkha, both the parties are playing games with our rights. They've been in power. When they're in power, they misuse the law to the hill. Then they go make a statement. When they're out of power, they want to support the citizens' right to freedom. And now each
not
one
BJP,
plays
not
games
BJP.
With each other. I mean, for the last 10 years, what did they do in Kashmir? What did the UPA do in Kashmir in the last 10 years? All the problem. Not much. They did something, not much. So they accuse each other. We must abrogate the law. Both the parties should come together, abrogate the law, put in a new law, put in a new law. There's no point money saying, oh, yeah, we said this.
Okay.
You are the law minister. You should have moved a bill in parliament to change the law. Put the Supreme Court thing into practice. They didn't do it.
Let me get a last word from Chandan on the irony pointed out by Biraj Patnaik that the defining report on Balochistan atrocities by Pakistan is by Amnesty International. Chandan, a last word on that irony.
No, that's okay. I mean, we have our own reports too. We don't depend on the Amnesty, which is a dubious organization and is globally mistrusted by governments. We don't have to depend on their reports. And number two, I'm very saddened that
Mr. L.K. Advani doesn't believe so.
That's okay.
L.K. Advani doesn't believe Amnesty is a dubious organization.
I am telling you that we do not have to depend on
Amnesty,
which is a dubious organization. It is a dubious organization.
We need another debate.
Your report, Indian government's report on Kashmir will be trusted more in the UN and in international bodies than an Amnesty International report.
Don't interrupt. We'll prove our point in Balochistan. But you see, Manish, I just want him to recall how the sedition law was effectively used in Punjab during the years of radicalism in Punjab and the militancy, the kind of dreadful militancy which even felt Manish.
I think the point has been made that it's been misused.
But Chandan, I would also like you to recall that in 2009, when Sharmal Sheikh was included, when Balochistan was included in the Sharmal Sheikh declaration, you and all the other spokespersons of the BJP were fulminating at the mouth. And today, you know, your Prime Minister goes and raises Balochistan from the ramparts of the Red Fort. And what did you say in 2009 when it was included in the Sharmal Sheikh joint statement? You said that we have conceded to
interference. Okay, there were very different contexts, Manish. It's a very different context.
So, no,
that
it wasn't
was
a different context.
To discuss. I'm sorry, all of you were very different. I think the context of Sharmal Sheikh statement. So therefore, you are... Okay, we've gone somewhere else with this.
I'm sorry, the context...
We've gone somewhere else. I will have to end here.
Against the Balochistan people.
Okay,
our government, Modi ji, is standing with the Baloch people against the government of Pakistan. That okay. is a crucial difference.
Okay, okay. Now,
yeah,
now
exactly
a separate debate on this.
We will. 2009, when you stood against the Baloch.
That is a separate debate, a separate context. Manish Tiwari, Chandan Mitra, Mohandas Pai, Biraj Patnaik. The fact is that this ratcheted up debate on nationalism, where the state is going to decide whether we are patriotic or not, is dangerous. And I wish our politicians would take a cue, scrap this archaic law, and bring in a new law if necessary, leaving it there. Thank you very much to our panel tonight.